Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The last sentence printed in our leaflet, the last sentence of the gospel printed in our leaflet tonight is so human and so vulnerable and so illogical. Mark tells us, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." They said nothing to anyone? Fear can make us mute, and amazement can overwhelm us. But that sentence can't be right, because if they said nothing to anyone, we would never have heard the report from Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. No story of an angel in white. No stone rolled away, no missing body, no divine promise of Jesus resurrected, waiting for us. So someone talked. Someone got over their fear or stopped worrying about what other people would think or allowed their wonder to build up a bit of courage in them. And they talked. They told the story. And someone else must have listened. And then they told a few more people. And those people told other people. And before they knew it, what would become the gospel was first divine gossip. The news, the rumor spreading like wildfire. Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. And that gossip has become gospel now. It's the story we've been telling each other for well over 30 human generations. He is risen. He's not in the tomb. He's gone on ahead of us. It is still the biggest and the boldest news on the planet. Jesus beat back death, not just for himself, but for all of us. And Jesus chose to face incredible suffering to redeem us. And not just us. The whole world has been redeemed. A new heaven, a new earth. And Jesus is waiting, not just for Peter, and not just for Mary Magdalene, but also for us. Both God and human beings seem to understand that we humans are slow learners, quick to be afraid, slow to trust. We're like deer hungry for the salt lick, but afraid to come out and get some. We're like sheep, which our scriptures and any sheep farmer will confirm, are often confused and a little slow and quick to run off if the shepherd doesn't stay close by. So God saves us again and again, creating life and hope, even out of the most unpromising places, even out of the most dangerous situations. God acts through time, our patient teacher, showing us again and again that our souls are precious. That love is more powerful than death. That when we ourselves are terrified, God is still acting on our behalf. Creation is good. The flood will never rise again. God will help us confront and overcome any Pharaoh. A Moses will be provided to tutor and lead us. And God's dream for us is fruitfulness and peace, justice, and beloved community. Or as Isaiah put it, the place will be beautiful and glorious, and we will have a shade by day from the heat and a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. Tonight, we tutor ourselves in our own salvation history. Our Easter Vigil readings are all about our own engagement with the salvation that came to our ancestors, whether they are our physical ancestors or our spiritual ones. But God's walk with God's people isn't over yet. With God, we're building the next chapter. It's our turn to listen, our turn to tell the story, our turn to live a life worthy of our calling as God's children. Completed stories always sound more heroic and more glamorous than the ones that are still unfolding. So we don't know yet how ours will end. Will joy come? Will spirits thrive? Will our story be about abundance? Or about the profound growth that comes in times of trial and trouble? Mark's gospel gives us the answer. Or rather, tells us where to go to find the answer. Mark's gospel is the oldest of the gospels, the most raw, the one written in the most basic, flat-footed prose, almost as if the writer were still on the run, seeking Jesus, moving from town to town, telling the good news. The other Gospels give us a sighting of Jesus before they end. But in the ending that all scholars agree is the authentic ending of Mark, the Gospel ends with the passage we heard, the passage printed in your leaflet. The one where the one dressed in white says, "Go. Tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you. There you will see him, just as he told you." Mark won't let us off the hook. Mark won't let the living God be left on a written page. If we want to find the living Son of God, Mark tells us we have to go looking ourselves. Mark requires that his story not be the last thing we say to each other. We have to tell stories ourselves and to each other after Mark's story ends. Because of Mark's jagged ending, we need to respond to Mark. I can see Mark in my mind's eye. Scrubby and passionate, barefoot, reaching out over the centuries. "You tell me," says Mark. "Have you seen him? Do you know anyone who has? Is it silent out there with the passing of time? Did his story die?" Mark makes us confront our own fears and our own deepest hopes. He makes us experience the monstrous impossibility of Easter, and then he leaves it up to us. The Easter story can't end on a page. It lives or dies in us. We know how Amanda and David Kern are answering Mark's question tonight. Tonight they are baptizing Scott Edison Archer, and he will briefly be the newest Christian on the planet, with the Holy Spirit hovering and his new life in Christ just beginning. How about you? Have you seen him? Are you ready to tell the story? Jesus is waiting. He is out in the wide, holy, dangerous world. And he is already looking for you.